Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
But today I'm going to talk on a topic that is a really awesome topic, but can be scary to a lot of people. It's a topic of judgment. So all in the past couple of weeks, we've been going through a lot of verses that go over what Jesus has done for us, going over how we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and how the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So these verses that we've been going over are verses that go over the gospel. And later on, in maybe a couple of weeks, maybe two or three, we'll be sharing the bridge with you, which kind of involves all of those verses being put together to share the gospel. And so this week we're going through Hebrews 9. There's a specific verse, Hebrews 9:27, that we're going to focus on. But yeah, today's topic is about judgment. Judgment, sometimes when people hear it, they're like, oh my gosh, maybe it has a negative connotation, maybe. Or what that means is that sometimes people hear the word judgment and they're already like, okay, like, it's not good. You just expect bad things. And the truth is, judgment can also be a good thing. And so I want to talk about that today. So we're going to be starting in Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 24 all the way to 28. And so let's just get started. For Christ did not enter into a holy place made with human hands, which was only a copy of the true one in heaven. He entered into heaven itself to appear now before God on our behalf. And he did not enter heaven to offer himself again and again, like the high priest here on earth, who enters the most holy place year after year with the blood of an animal. If that had been necessary, Christ would have had to die again and again, ever since the world began. But now, once for all time, he has appeared at the end of the age to remove sin by his own death as a sacrifice. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after this comes judgment, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Amen. So these verses are out of chapter 9 in Hebrews, talking about how Jesus is the perfect sacrifice, right? In the Old Testament, if you've read it before, you're familiar with it, the Israelites and people who followed God that would have to offer sacrifices for their sins, right? Because sin, one second. Okay, so sin needed a sacrifice. There was always blood to be spilt for the remission of sins. But even in the Old Testament, it was kind of a broken system because you would have to do it over and over again because the blood of animals was not enough, right? And what's really cool is it's talking about how Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. When Jesus came, being fully God, fully man, sinless, he died on the cross and paid the penalty for our sins. It wasn't even his sin. It was our sin that he died for. And he is the perfect sacrifice. Just like the song was singing, that the blood of Jesus, it's enough. It is enough. It is enough. His one-time sacrifice was offered, and it took away the sins of all those who believe in him, all the sins of the whole world, really. But to receive that gift, you have to believe, you have to receive him. And so that's what this chapter is talking about, just going through and talking about the Old Testament and how things were done then, and how there was a priest that it would, you know, go before the other people, but that priest also was sinful. And so he had to, you know, offer the sacrifice for the sins of others, but also the sins of himself. But Jesus is a perfect priest, to the order of Melchizedek. He's the perfect priest because he doesn't have sin. So he's dying. He's laying down his life for our sin. So this is what we're walking into with these verses. Well, the verse that we want to focus on, again, remember, this is just in line with all the other verses that we're sharing, that enable you to share the gospel in a way that is understandable and easy. And we want to teach you that too. But the verse that we're focusing on is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And it says, just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment. So this is the main verse for today. And it's just talking about how maybe you have come across someone who maybe is in a faith that believes in reincarnation, or maybe you die and then you come back again, or how, yeah, something like that, right? Or you've come out of that, or you know somebody who's in that. Well, the Bible teaches a very different thing, right? It says that we live, right? And we die once, and after that comes judgment. And we're going to go into what this verse is specifically saying, and also how to use this verse as a tool to share the gospel. So the first point that I'm going to go over is that we have one life to live. So in this verse specifically, let's go back. In this verse specifically, we see that it's appointed for someone to die once, right? And this is just talking about the natural order of things. It's not talking about anything like particularly spiritual, even though it's used to explain a spiritual ideal, or yeah, to bring understanding to that. Literally, the natural order, the way God created things, is that we live naturally, we live physically on this earth, and we die one time, right? And we see it in Ecclesiastes, because the Bible says things, but if it's always repeated somewhere else. But there's a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to harvest. So this, we're just going over the basics, right? That we are brought into this world, we live, we die, and then after this, something happens, right? And specifically in this verse, is just really just using, he's using this idea of dying once to explain what Jesus has done, and that he only had to die once. And I'm getting ahead of myself. So naturally, we live, we die. Simple, right? And then afterlife, it says either you die and are raised to life with Jesus, or are separated from God in hell, right? So these are the basics, like when you're sharing the gospel or even understanding the gospel for yourself, it's important to know that we live, we die, and then after we die, there are really only two options. And that option is raised to life with Jesus in heaven, or separated from God in hell. These are basics. These are important to know, to understand what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And so Hebrews chapter 9, verse 28, right? So again, I was saying that, you know, this is the natural order of things. But in this verse, it was using the fact that we literally die once, that natural order that everyone understands, to explain the fact that Jesus came. He offered a sacrifice once for all to take away the sins of many people. So it says here, so also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. So we live once, everybody knows this, and then we live, and we live twice. But you live and you die once physically, and you continue on either in heaven or in hell, right? Like this is the basic. But it's using that understand, like that simple understanding, that basic understanding, to explain that Jesus, in the same way, he only had to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sin one time. Why? Because he was God. He was fully God. He was fully man, but he never sinned. He took the penalty for our sin. This was his way for us to be reunited with him, no longer separated with him, right? And so the main point, right? He only had to die for sins once, one time. So we live and we die once, physically, like your physical body dies, right? There's a time to be born, time to die. But Jesus only had to die one time for sins. So now that we have that out of the way, the basic understanding, this basic understanding of what Jesus has done, and also the basic understanding that we live once and we live and we die once. Very important, because like I said, you might encounter people or have encountered people or have read about different religions that talk about how maybe they believe in reincarnation, or that you come back and you get, you know, you're changed into something else. And that just honestly is just not true. So, and there's Bible verses, like the ones we just went over, to explain that we live, we die. Okay. So the next point, right? We live, we have one life to live, a physical life to live. And so now let's talk about this idea of judgment and reward. Judgment and reward. And so to really understand this judgment, we know about the judgment of sin, and that is death, right? But judgment and reward, to really understand how to think about it in a healthy way, is to understand God's heart towards us, right? So what is God's heart towards us? Well, John chapter 3, starting in verse 16 says, "For this is how God loved the world." We know this verse, right? "He gave his own one and only son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged." What? "For not believing in God's one and only son." So we see here that, you know, God's heart towards us is one of love. He so loved the world that he gave his only son. He gave Jesus. Jesus laid down his life so that we will not perish because of our own sin, right? He paid the penalty for our sin, not his sin, our sin. He didn't even sin, right? Think about that. He did not sin, but he paid the price for all the sin of the world. If you're ever feeling like, you know, like people are judging you or hate you or for no reason, you didn't even do anything, just think about the weight that Jesus carried so that we can be free, right? He literally did not sin, but was treated worse than a sinner, right? But the heart, God's heart is that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is his heart. He doesn't want us to perish. He sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. Another version says to condemn the world, right? It's not to condemn the world, but to save the world. He wants us to be saved because he knows the penalty for sin is death, right? That is another fact that we need to remember. The penalty for sin is death, right? And Jesus is saying, "I am the way and the truth and the life. I'm the only way. You were going straight for destruction, straight for hell, but I am saying, no, I don't want you to be separated from me. I want you to have relationship with me. I don't want you to go to hell," right? So I made a way for you. That's his heart. And so that brings us to the next kind of idea. Why is there already judgment for those who don't believe in him? Well, number one, Jesus, like I was saying, he made that way out. There's one way. And he's saying, hey, this way that you're on is leading to death, but I want you to choose life, right? So there's a way that we're already going. We're already heading this way. And he's like, no, I want to make a way out so that you don't have to endure or go to hell or be separated from me. Why is there only judgment? Well, the verse continues in John chapter 3, verse 19. It says, "And the judgment is based on this fact. God's light came into the world, but the people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. All who do evil hate the light and refuse to go near for fear that their sins will be exposed." Right? The judgment is based on the fact that that God made a way out. Jesus came into the world. He took the penalty for sin. And he's saying, hey, choose life, choose life, choose me. I want to give you that abundant life, that I want you to experience relationship with me and be saved from the penalty of your sins. Right? But Jesus came to the world, and if you've read the Bible and you've read the gospel, he was rejected. People did not want him. They rejected him and they ran away from him because they saw that their deeds were evil, but they also didn't want to repent, right? they chose that instead of choosing his way out. But I say all this to say also that judgment is not always bad, right? Sometimes we have this thought about judgment that's like it's only bad. Sometimes you're judged and it's like a good judgment, right? Sometimes you have good judgments, right? 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each may receive his due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad." That verse alone can scare some people, right? We must be appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Well, if you're familiar with the Old Testament way of offering a sacrifice in the judgment seat, right? The blood of the animal was often put on the judgment seat, right? And that blood is to satiate the judgment, right? But guess what? When we appear before the judgment seat of Christ and we've received Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we can rejoice because his blood truly is enough and it covers every sin. That is the assurance that we have when we put our faith in Jesus, that his blood is enough to cover every sin, every hidden sin, every sin that you feel like separates you from God. Jesus is like, "No, I died for that sin. Give it to me." Right? And so each one may receive what is due for the things done in the body, whether good or bad. This is also just, talking about when we are in Christ and we're doing the things that God has called us to do, he also wants to reward us too. You see where it says whether good or bad, right? He wants to reward us too. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 said, "It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." All these verses that we're reading doesn't seem like, this idea of judgment. Some people have in their head that God is just like waiting for them to fall and to do something wrong so that he can destroy them. Like, no, he's not saying, "Oh, I want to smite you," right? He, after all the verses we are reading, we can hear the heart of God that he doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to him. And also here we see it's impossible to please God without faith. What is that faith, right? We know that faith is a substance of things that are unseen, right? Okay. Well, it's faith in something. It's in Jesus, right? That faith that we have when we put our faith, when we accept Jesus as our Lord, right? It says anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists. He exists, right? We're acknowledging that he exists. He is Lord. He is the creator of everything. And that he also rewards those who did sincerely seek him. When we put our faith in him and we choose to lay down our life, he wants to reward us for the things that we do on this earth. He wants to reward us for those good things that you do. That's why he says in his word that be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil in the Lord is not in vain, right? Because he's going to reward you for that. So we don't do it for a place trying just simply to receive rewards, but we do it from a place of like loving God and laying down our life. But he's going to reward us for that, and for that alone, for our faith in him. That's what pleases him, that we believe in him, even when things don't make sense, even when life is going crazy or is chaotic, we still stand firm and believe that he is God and he is good, right? He will reward you for that faith, and that faith pleases him. So we've talked about the fact that we have one life to live, right? After this comes judgment and or rewards. And so the last point I want to kind of drive home is desiring salvation. What does that mean? It means that God wants us all to be saved. I can't drive this home enough. He wants all of us to be saved. He wants all of us to be saved. This is the language he uses in the Word of God, right? Let's look at these two different verses that I want to share. So from what we've read today, right, I was saying that the main verse was 27, but 27, it's a good verse and it can stand alone, but it makes sense more when we read this, right? It says, after this comes judgment, right? But also Christ is offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation, to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. Do you see that? Like, right? So that first verse can sound a little scary, right? It's appointed for a man to die once, and after this comes judgment. And if you end there, it's like, what do you mean by judgment, right? And so this continues to say that, no, but Jesus offered his life one time as a sacrifice to take away all your sins. And so when he comes back, he's not coming to judge you or send you off. He's saying, I'm coming to bring salvation to you, to those who believe in me, to those who have received me as their Lord and are waiting for my return. I'm coming to bring salvation, right? To bring salvation, right? We receive it here, but we will experience it fully when he comes again. So he wants all of us to be saved. He wants all of us to be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. This is another good verse. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he is being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. Do you see that? He doesn't want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. So he desires salvation for every single person. He's not being slow. God could have come back already. He could have come back and shown himself like, okay, guys, let's go. But he is being patient for your sake and for the sake of those who are being saved, for those we are crying out for, right? There's still more people to be saved. And so he doesn't want anyone to be destroyed. This sounds like a loving God. And this is the lens which we should view his judgment, right? We could have been judged for our sins and the full wrath of sin come upon us, but he took that wrath so that we can be free. We can have relationship with him. He doesn't want us to be destroyed. I can just repeat that over and over again, and I would feel good about it because it's just true, right? Sometimes we need to retrain our brain away from the things that we've heard about God that aren't true, right? And so he does not want anyone to be destroyed. He loves you. He wants everyone to repent. He wants everyone to come to him. And so I want to end with this last slide right here, right? In that song that we listened to, and she was talking about how the blood of God, Jesus is enough, right? And she said, this is good news. It's the best news, right? That our sins are not counted against us. I think somewhere David said in a psalm somewhere that blessed is the man whose sin are removed from him or are not held against him. And we are those people who are blessed because our sins are not counted against us because we have put our faith in Jesus. This is the best news. This is the best news that we don't have to worry about being separated from God. We don't have to be a slave to sin, but we can be a bondservant to Christ and live righteous lives to be free from the things that used to hold us down, right? This is the best news that God would come and die for us. And so if you are on this call and you have not heard the gospel, you have not experience or receive Jesus as your Lord, I have a question. I want to share the gospel with you. Do you know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? Very important question. I think it's the most important question ever because Jesus is only the only way, truth, and life. Do you know him as your personal Lord and Savior? Do you have a relationship with him? That's what I'm asking as well. Have you put your faith in him? Right? This is the faith that really pleases God, that you believe that he exists, right? That you know that he has good things for you. Do you know him? Think about that. And so I'm going to share the gospel with you. It says in Isaiah 53, 6, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him, right? We know who him is, right? That's Jesus. We have chosen our own way. We have chosen to walk in the way of sin, but guess what? God didn't allow the penalty that we deserve to fall on us, but he came and took it himself, right? This again is good news. It's the best news. I think that's going to be my favorite phrase, like, for the rest of the day. It's the best news. It's just so great. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And so what does that mean? Sin has a penalty, and that penalty is death. We've all sinned. Sin separates us from God. We're in need of a savior. And well, the good news is that God loves us so much, and he wants fellowship and relationship with us, that he sent his only son Jesus to die for our sins, die in our place, take the penalty for our sin on the cross, so that we are no longer separated from him, but we get fellowship, relationship, we get to know God, we get to be saved from the penalty, we get to walk in freedom. Right. And so the Bible says in Romans chapter six, sorry, not six, Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. You will get the gift of eternal life. And because eternal life is a gift, you cannot earn it by being a good person, doing all the right things in your own strength, trying to earn your righteousness, try to bridge the gap that you see there. That's not happening. No, it's because Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for the, that's, I'm still trying to say this verse again. verse 8 and 9 says, for by faith you've been saved. Through, no, for by grace you've been saved through faith. Thank you. and that is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one should boast, right? So it's not by works, but it's because Jesus paid that price and penalty for our sins that we get eternal life when we accept him, when we make him the Lord of our life. And so when you are saying that you want Jesus to be the Lord of your life, you're saying that you're laying down your life to live for him. You are saying, I am not going to live for this world. I'm not going to live for myself. I'm laying down my life, giving you my life as a sacrifice, right? A living sacrifice. And so if you are hearing this gospel message, you've heard the sermon, and you're pierced to the heart. You want to receive Jesus as your Lord for the very first time, or you have been walking with Jesus and you've been away from him. You've been like the prodigal son, like, I don't even want anything to do with Jesus, right? Guess what? You can rededicate your life to him, and he will receive you, right? He doesn't want for anyone to be destroyed, but that everyone would come to repentance. And so if you want to give your life to Jesus for the very first time, or you are wanting to rededicate your life to Jesus, say this prayer with me. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son Jesus died a painful death and rose again so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust you and follow you. Everything that I have is yours now. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you for joining our
Amen.
Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.